It's the Lawn and Garden Show with Walter Reeves on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. It's brought to you by Pike Nurseries, your neighborhood garden center, playing in the dirt for more than 50 years. Call now with your lawn and garden questions at 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. And now, here's Walter.
It's 7:07 at News Talk WSB, 57 degrees outside. This is Lawn and Garden. I'm Walter Reeves, the Georgia gardener, here to help you be more successful in your landscape and whatever you want to do in the green, natural world, or the brown, unnatural, hot, dry world that we have outside. If you need to know a little bit more about how to water successfully, if you need to know how to plant things successfully, 404-872-0750, your fount of garden knowledge, if not fountain of water, every Saturday morning. 404-872-0750. One of the things, I was talking to a caller off the air a minute ago, one of the things to look at about azaleas and rhododendrons, particularly rhododendrons, and I'm not sure why this is particularly rampant right now, but I've gotten two or three emails in the last 2 weeks with pictures of completely wilted, established rhododendrons, rhodies that have been in for 3 or 4 or 5 years, and all of a sudden the leaves just sort of droop down and curl up, and ooh, they don't look good. It's my bet that the drought just put the nail in the coffin and kicked over the can, that these rhododendrons had a little bit of Phytophthora root rot. It's a common disease. It happens on established azaleas and established rhodies when they've been in the ground for a while, but are growing in clay soil. And in clay soil, they just can't breathe as well as they would like. They like a nice, fine, loose soil to spread those roots out in, like in the woods where they originated. And if they are put and planted into clay soil, then rhododendrons and azaleas get Phytophthora root rot. And the symptom is pretty classic, visually easy to see. You can do this yourself. If a limb here and a limb there, just sort of scattered on the plant. One tends to sort of droop and wilt and the leaves curl up, and then another limb on the other side of the plant, the leaves wilt a little bit, the root and the leaves curl up a little bit more. And no matter whether you water it or don't water it, it doesn't seem to get any better. The best you can do is prune those limbs off and wait and see. But eventually, if the root rot spreads throughout the rest of the root ball, then the whole plant, leaves wilt, leaves roll up, curl up, wilt, water didn't help anything, and that is the end of that story. You can try re-amending the soil. I mean, really putting about half native soil and half organic matter in the soil and mix it up real good to make it nice and soft and put another azalea or rhodia in its place, or you can plant another plant that does not get Phytophthora root rot so much, like Loropetalum or geranium, or not geranium, gardenia, or something like that. But it's one of those things that I just noticed this time of year is the Phytophthora root rot, the curl on the rhododendron leaves seems to be more common than I really would have expected. Frances is in Flowery Branch, Georgia, and joins us on Lawn and Garden. Hey, Frances, good morning.
Good morning. I have stelladoras that have gotten real thick.
Awesome.
And I need to divide them. And I didn't know when's the best time to do it and how can you save the plants to give to other people.
Do it today.
Oh.
Yeah. You got something to do this afternoon. Turn the radio on to the Bulldogs this afternoon and divide the daylilies today.
Oh, wow.
You know, all you have to do is get a spading fork or shovel and just be careful with the shovel. You don't want to slice into the root ball or anything, but, you know, go along with the side and gently lift the whole clump of them up and then get a water hose. My gosh, the soil is so hard right now that you need to soak it down pretty good. And once you've soaked it and washed some of the soil away, you'll easily be able to see where you can break apart the different individual plants in that clump. And then, you know, it's 5 to Margaret and 5 to Bill and 3 to the kid down the street. And all of a sudden you're giving them all away and you got 5 left. You replant them and they'll be flowering next year.
Oh, so now you can't save them over several months or so.
Yeah, I'd rather not. They would be a lot happier planted than they would be saved till Christmas or something like that. If you're going to give them for Christmas, is there some reason that you want to not give them immediately right now?
No, I don't know if they would be able to plant them right now.
Well, ascertain. All you have to do is ask. Say, if I were to give you a nice plant, would you be able to plant right now? Or maybe you should volunteer, Francis. Come on. You should go to their house and say, if I dug the hole and gave you a daylily, would that be okay?
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so very much.
Easy to do it, Francis. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
We've got Frederica on the line from Murphy, North Carolina. Frederica, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, Frederica. How can I help?
Well, I have potted geraniums that I like to save for next year. Yeah. Is there any way that I could do that?
I can just about guarantee you can if you do what I say. If you leave them outdoors, they're not going to be happy. But how many do you have?
I have 8.
And are they great, big, enormous plants now, or what
they
the
are.
Size? 2 feet high, 2 feet wide, how big?
They're probably maybe 2 feet, a foot to 2 feet wide.
Okay. Are they in a pot or in the ground?
They're potted.
Awesome. This is great. Honestly, you should cut them back by about half now. And maybe a little bit more if they had a lot of leaves in the middle. I might even cut them back by 2/3 now. But you want to get them ready to go inside in the pot. And there's no reason in the world you could not bring them into an unheated garage as long as it does not get down below 40 degrees during the wintertime. The geraniums will be fine. If they had a little light, that would be even finer. And if you watered them once or twice, that would be even more fine.
Once or twice, a week, a month, or what?
This is one of those stick your fingers in the soil and find out. Just stick your pointer finger down in the dirt and find out if they're dry. If they're dry, moisten. If they're not, if the soil comes back moist, then leave them alone for another week.
Okay. They're still flowering, so I pick the flowers off?
I think you should. And the reason is they need a little bit of time outdoors, and we don't have to bring them in yet until the nighttime temperatures are down. Gosh, Frederica, when the weatherman says tomorrow's going to be 40 degrees, then that is your sign to bring all the geraniums in. And if you wait until that time to prune them, then that makes a harder transition for the plants.
Oh,
but if you can prune them now and leave them outside until it does get cold at night, they'll have an easier transition from outside to the wherever place you're going to keep them for the winter.
Okay, so I can put them in a tub?
Yeah.
In a bathroom? Okay.
Is there enough light in there?
I could open the blinds, yeah.
Where are you going to take your bath?
Well, I have another one outside.
All right, just whatever works for you, Frederick, is all right with me.
No, I was just trying to think of a place where I could keep them, because someone told me to keep them in a dark, dark place.
Nah, leaf on it will fall off and they'll die. No, we need some light on those
things. They need light, okay. All right. All right, so I need to cut them. I just fed them 2 days ago. Was that the wrong thing to do?
Yes, but you can't go back in time now, so you deal with what you got. So cut them back.
Okay.
Cut them back.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the information.
That tub is going to be a mess. When you take those back outside, that tub is going to be full of leaves. Good gosh, Frederica.
Wow. Well, they're full of leaves now, and I've been bringing them inside at night when, if it drops below 50.
Nah,
and
you don't need
really
to do it until it's below 40.
They're just beautiful, and I'd hate to waste them. So I have to cut them back, you said, about half?
About half. I think that's about right, yeah.
About half. Okay. Thank you very much, Walter.
Sure, Frederica. Good luck. We'll see you soon.
Thanks. Bye.
Rebecca is up in South Bend, Indiana. Wow, these people from all over the eastern United States.
Good morning. I love your show. It's just incredible.
Thank you, Rebecca. How can I help?
Yeah, I've got I've got some peonies, and, well, of course, the leaves are kind of like milky, frosted white, and I was wondering when to cut them back for the winter that we usually have a pretty nasty one up here, so... And then I have a hydrangea, and I don't know when to cut that back either.
Yeah, even in Atlanta, Georgia, yesterday I was cutting my peonies back. So if the leaves are, how they look, they're brown, they're speckled, they're yellow, they're drooping, cut them back down at ground level, and that is the end of the peony foliage for the year. And they'll, of course, sprout back out next spring and give you those pretty peony flowers next year. But, yeah, you can take the leaves off right now. Easy. And as far as hydrangeas go, which hydrangea do you have, Rebecca? Do you know?
I just have a one that looks like a snowball.
Yeah. So is it white or pink or blue, or what's the?
It actually doesn't flower because it's in the shade.
Well, then how am I going to know what hydrangea you have?
Yeah.
Is it supposed to have white flowers, or do you know what it's supposed to have?
No, it has purple ones.
Okay.
But so it does flower.
Very likely a moped then. If it has green buds on the stem, those are the buds that are going to give you flowers next year, assuming that the winter is not terribly cold in Indiana. On the other hand, if everything is frozen, then that's one of the reasons it's not flowering, because the way that those hydrangeas flower is on the buds that form back in August the previous year. So any buds you have on it now, that's the flowers for next year. If they get frozen off, then that's no flowers for next year. That may be the reason yours is not bloomed very reliably.
Oh, okay. Now, the peonies, should I cover them with, like, some mulch or something as far as the roots?
Peonies love cold weather. Peonies are just happy, happy, happy. They're having a little party underground when it's cold weather outside. Down here, as a matter of fact, we tell people to plant peonies shallow, plant so the eyes can get exposed to the winter temperatures, because most peonies deliriously love temperatures in freezing ranges. So, no, I would not mulch it other than a little bit of straw or chips or wood or something, just to make it all look uniform in the landscape. But there's really no need to keep it protected from cold weather at all. It's 7:18. We'll be back after this.
This is Scott Slade, host of Atlanta's Morning News on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. We'll be covering breaking news, Kirk Mellish weather, and traffic red alerts through the weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now back to Walter Reeves, the lawn and garden advice you need.
And a quick weather update brought to you by Ackerman Security. Bottom line, it's going to be hot this afternoon. Record-breaking temperatures, possibly 84 degrees is what Kirk is predicting right now. No rain, of course, in the forecast. Overnight lows into the mid-50s. No rain again. And the same for Sunday and Monday for Halloween as well. This is your home of the dogs. We'll have the full weather forecast in 10 minutes right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. And don't forget, for in-depth news coverage, you can pick up your Sunday edition of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. They will have an opportunity school district discussion. If you have not voted yet, if you've not made up your mind about the OSD, read that analysis. There are lots of big things on the line for schools that are failing in Georgia, and whether or not Governor Deal's plan to take over those schools is a good idea or a bad one is something you need to know about. That'll be in the Sunday edition of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Rusty is in Cumming, Georgia, and joins us on Lawn and Garden. Hey, Rusty, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Walter. How are you today?
All right. What's up?
Have a centipede. It's an established lawn. I bought the house 2 years ago and have been fertilizing it, you know, twice in the spring, I guess May and July, as they recommend.
Good.
It's doing a lot better, but I still have a bunch of broadleaf weeds in the yard, even some fescue, which I know that's a different issue. When's the best time to try to attack those broadleaf leaves? Can I do some of it during the fall? And how, since the centipede is browning out, or should I just wait until spring?
My feeling is we don't do any broadleaf weed control right now. I think the centipede needs to be left alone while it goes dormant. And we'll just let that lie till next spring after your first fertilization. So you'll do that probably in April or early May. So let's do broadleaf weed control in May, June, when the centipede is vigorous and can withstand any trauma from putting weed killer on it. So no broadleaf weed control now. The only thing that might be useful now is putting a pre-emergent down, because that will prevent some of the winter weeds that compete with the centipede, dormant centipede. So any pre-emergent you can find, Halts or Dimension or Lesco or Pike product, or you know, whatever you got, put a pre-emergent out. But water it in. That is the key thing that I think is going to really affect how well the pre-emergents work during the wintertime, is how well they're watered in when applied in the fall. And that is what it says on the label. You got to water them in and dissolve that chemical out to prevent all the winter weeds. So, Rusty, if I were going to do weed control, the pre-emergent is what I would do right now.
Okay, and when I water it in, I mean, if I use the whichever one is yellow, just do I want to water it to where I don't see any more yellow?
No, they specify about a quarter inch, I think, of irrigation.
Okay.
So put a couple of cans and cups out there and water it until you got a half an inch at the bottom, and that should be fine. You may still see some yellow granules after that, but as long as it's got a half an inch of water on it, for sure it's dissolved just perfectly. Thanks for calling, Rusty. We got to go. Next half hour, we'll have Willie in Chattanooga. Something's digging holes in his yard, and he wants to know what it is. And Eric in Hiawassee has an azalea he would like to learn how to root. You can join us, 404-872-0750. 404-872-0750. We'll be back after news.
It's the Lawn and Garden Show with Walter Reeves on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. It's brought to you by Pike Nurseries, your neighborhood garden center, playing in the dirt for more than 50 years. Call now with your lawn and garden questions at 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. And now, here's Walter.
It's 735 and 50, let's call it 55 degrees at News Talk WSB. This is Lawn and Garden. I'm Walter Reeves, the Georgia Gardener, here to help you be more successful. Whatever you're doing outside today, you need some advice, I'm here to give it. 404-872-0750. I'll be at Sun City Peachtree this morning from 11 o'clock until 1 p.m. They're having a big fall crafts festival at Sun City Peachtree down in Griffin, and you are welcome to attend. You can bring your garden questions. You can bring your weeds in bags. You can do pictures on your cell phone. Whatever you want to do, it's free and open to the public. And you'll be able to see one of the premier active adult communities in the southern United States. It is a gorgeous place. Man, oh, man, oh, man. They got all sorts of golf courses and tennis courses and indoor and outdoor pools and walking trails and all this stuff. Plus the crafts festival today. I'll be there again from 11 to 1, and I think the festival goes until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Let us do some business. Crystal Wheeler is here screening calls and therefore assumes the mantle of the decider, the person who decides who will win a pair of tickets to see Mannheim Steamroller on November 26th at the Fox Theater and a family four packets of tickets to an Atlanta Gladiators home game at Infinite Energy Center. You cannot have Christmas without Mannheim Steamroller. Crystal Wheeler, who wins?
That'd be caller two. I'm unwell, so caller two.
Caller number two. Crystal, don't care. Caller number one and one half. She got out of her sick bed today to take Ashley's place, and we're thankful for that. Our contest line number, 404-741-0750. 404-741-0750. Go to Mannheim Steamroller and see the Gladiators. At 737, Chattanooga Willie calls. Hey, Willie. Good morning.
Well, thanks for taking my call.
Sure, man.
I got a question for you. I have a couple of things that I want to know if they're possibly related. I got a bunch of holes in my yard here and there.
Yeah.
The holes are about anywhere from 2 inches to 4 inches, so nothing's going in and staying in.
Yeah.
But earlier this spring, newly planted hostas and peonies were dug up, just laid there, and I guess something was still digging up under there.
Mm.
And then the other thing was, around some of my hostas, I countersunk a tuna can flush to the ground, put some beer in it, thinking I killed some slug.
Yeah.
Something dug the tuna can up out of the ground and moved it at least 10, 15 feet. So it didn't sound like any. You think it's related?
I've got one and two related. Number three, I think, is the stranger, the outlier. One and two sound to me more like squirrel than anything else, Willie, because squirrels right now are digging shallow holes 2 or 3 inches in diameter, nothing particularly at the bottom, not very deep. And they're burying acorns and pecans and whatever nut they can find around to bury. That, to me, sounds like squirrel holes that you see. Number
well,
two.
I am seeing a host of squirrels in the yard.
In the spring, that would not be unusual at all for squirrels to dig up newly planted plants just because they say, you know, I saw Willie over there putting something in. Maybe something to eat. Let's go look. And they're going to dig your peonies and pansies and petunias and stuff out of the ground. So that would be likely squirrel damage, too. But squirrels and beer, no, that's probably not a squirrel. That is either a possum or a raccoon, and it could be either one, but it's probably not a squirrel because they would do their most of their work at night, and squirrels are not going to be out at night.
Oh, okay. Well, it doesn't really sound like anything major.
No.
Chicken wire is
keeping the newly
planted plants from being dug up.
But it's curious. You always want to know what pulled, ate, did this thing to my yard, and holes have various explanations, and from you I got good explanation, good symptoms. I know pretty sure what that was, but there are other holes that are harder to diagnose, but sometimes I can get an idea of what's going on and I can diagnose them too. But for you, squirrels, possums, raccoons, no big deal, Willie.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, Walter.
Good talking to you. We'll see you
soon.
40 minutes past the hour. That gives Eric in Hiwassee his turn. Eric, hey, good morning.
Hey, Walter, how you doing?
Hey, Eric, I'm all right. What's going on?
I got some really unique azaleas. You know, they're multicolored blooms, and I can't find, you know, I've never seen none like them. I bought a house that's already there. And I want to cut some limbs off, you know, and root them where I can put some other places. My grandma used to do that all the time, and I can't do it, so I just wondered if you had any ideas.
Well, she was your grandma. That's why she could do it. Grandmas have grandma magic, and grandma magic is what you need. When you're a little bit older, Eric, you'll have grandpa magic, and you could do it yourself.
Okay.
They don't sell that in a bottle, by the way. You don't have to get that at the store.
I was just wondering if you knew a way I could improve them.
I'll tell you, I'll give you a couple of ways. And both of these, Eric, I want to refer you to my website because I don't have time to go through all the steps of how to do it correctly. But there are two options, it seems to me, that do really well for rooting azaleas. One is using half of a 2-liter soft drink bottle. You cut it half in two, and you put potting soil down in the bottom, and you stick little 6-inch cuttings in that potting soil and then put the cover back on and tape it in place. And put that in a sort of a shady place in the yard. But you do it. You don't do it now. Now we don't have near enough sunshine to do it. We do that in May or early June is probably the right time for you in Hiwassee.
Okay.
So I'll send you to my website. Just type in rooting. Type the word rooting in there, and it'll take you to 3 articles on how to root things using that method. The second option, if you want to try it, Eric, is called air layering, where you wrap a limb with some peat moss and aluminum foil. Again, I don't have time to give you all the steps, but if you type layering, rooting and layering, and you'll get all the articles, pictures, and everything you need to know about how to propagate azaleas.
Okay. All right. I appreciate it, Walter.
Layering and rooting at WalterReeves.com, and there you have, my friend, all I know about the subject. Thanks for calling, Eric. Let's talk to Chris in Lawrenceville. Chris, you are on WSB. Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Walter.
Good morning. How can I help?
Hey, I've got a couple of crepe myrtles, and I have them in pots.
Yeah.
I've had them in pots for 2 years. I sort of robbed them off a full-grown tree somewhere because they're too expensive to buy.
Okay.
And they flowered over the summer, and so I want to get them in the ground, and people tell me that this is a good time to do that.
Yeah, it is.
So should I fertilize it? Add fertilizer to the dirt when I'm putting it in the ground, for one.
When you go to sleep at night, do you drink like 8 cups of coffee before you hit the bed?
No.
No, and neither do you fertilize crepe myrtles when you're putting them in the ground. No.
Okay.
They can't use the fertilizer. The leaves are going to fall off if they're not mostly gone by now, and so they can't use any fertilizer, and you shouldn't put any fertilizer on it until next spring when they start leafing out again.
I guess the reason why I asked that is because I'm digging into this dirt, this red.
Yeah.
Well, not even red. It's just hard. It's like cement, and I'm out there with an axe trying to dig a hole, and I can't even imagine how something could actually grow in this dirt. But I know I have to amend that soil.
So
talk to me a little bit about what I should do with that soil to give it a good shot to grow and look wonderful.
If it is as hard as you describe, Chris, what I would do is get a soaker hose or borrow one from your neighbor. You only need to use it for a while because you're going to take a soaker hose and just sort of coil it around the area where you're going to plant the crepe myrtles and turn it on for a couple of hours and just let it soak water into that soil to make it softer for you and your shovel, not your pickaxe, but your shovel maybe to lift the soil up and turn it over and add. Go to a nursery and get some soil conditioner, and there are various cheap brands of bag soil conditioner. You can take that, mix in about 2 inches, lay 2 inches on top of the soil, and then mix that in real good down to about 6 or 8 inches with your shovel. And now you have a spot. If it's 3 to 4 feet in diameter, a nice, soft, organic, brown, not all clay spot, and put those crepe myrtles in the middle of each spot, and now you got something you look at and say, wow, they're looking good next year. They're bloom like crazy.
So that big a hole, three to four.
Now, I didn't say hole. What I said was a softened spot that you've laid the organic matter onto. I don't want you to dig a hole. It's too hot. You know, it's too much work for that.
I've actually dug the holes I dug the holes, and I've taken a week to do it because the ground is so hard. And I've actually poured some water in the hole,
all right.
And it's still sitting there, the water, like a cup.
Poorly drained soil. Yeah, that's one of the things that leads to problems later on. So anything you can do to soften up the bottom of the hole so that water has a chance of draining away, because in the spring when it rains real hard, you don't want water sitting around the roots of your crepe myrtle then. In fact, if it is as you describe, and you add the soil conditioner stuff that I told you about, if you add that, it'll naturally mound things up. It'll raise the level of the bed, and that would be nice because that'll help to protect the roots when it does get real rainy, hopefully when it gets real rainy next spring.
And one last thing, that soil. So when I put my soil in, and I guess I should, retain a good portion of the soil that I'm digging out, that I'm going to mix with manure. I have a big bag of manure, and somebody told me I could add some of that. But that's kind of like fertilizer, right?
Yeah, it is kind of like fertilizer. Although, if you want my honest opinion, there's not a lot of fertilizer in manure. It's more just the word manure, and people think, oh yeah, that's what grandpa used, that's what we use, we got to use some manure out here. But there's not a lot. It might be 1% nitrogen and a little less phosphorus and potassium. There's not much to that. So frankly, if you got some manure and you want to add it to the soil, that's fine with me, Chris.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds like a plan.
All right, man, we'll see you soon.
Thank you, appreciate it.
I think we can get real quickly in here and get Joshua in here. Josh down in Noonan, Georgia, joining us on Lawn and Garden. Josh, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Walter. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, man. What you got?
Just got a real quick question for you. I purchased a October Glory maple last year and planted it about this time last year. And so far, I am still not seeing any kind of change in the leaves yet. Yeah. And I don't know if maybe that's something on my end or if that's just because we've had hot weather here lately.
Hot weather and young tree. Not your problem at all. I mean, frankly, you're to be congratulated that you still have a live tree after the drought this year. So I already know you're pretty smart, Josh. So young trees, it takes a while to establish the chemistry that causes leaves to change color. And it may take 2 or 3 years before the October glory really comes into its glory. But I think it will eventually. And it's just a matter of the temperatures and things like that this year. And it's age that have kept from turning red.
Okay, great. Yeah, that was all I needed to know. Thank you so much.
Noonan would be a prettier place because of it. Thanks for calling, Josh.
Thank you, Walter.
We'll see you soon. It's 7:48. We'll be back right after this.
Monday in Atlanta's Morning News. The heaviest week for advance voting begins across Georgia. Team coverage traffic updates will come every 6 minutes, and the defense takes over in the Ross Harris hot car murder trial on WSB and the WSB radio app.
I want candy, bubble gum, and taffy. Skip to the sweet shop with my sweetheart Sandy. Got my penny safe, so I'm a sugar daddy. I'm a Hugh Curran, she my Jessica Candy. I want candy.
I'm going to let that run.
Split it with my biddy, 50-50 down the line.
Scott. A quick weather update brought to you by Ackerman Security, Mother Nature. Kirk Mellish turned the thermostat up again. It's 84 degrees this afternoon. Predicted high, still a record-breaking high temperature for today and tomorrow and possibly Monday as well. Dry for Halloween, of course. I have trick-or-treated in Halloween in sleet 1 year. That was a real fun experience. The temperature tonight goes down to the mid-50s, just like it is right now, 55 degrees. And then tomorrow, about the same as I mentioned. Your full weekend forecast in 10 minutes. So News 95.5 and AM 750. Your home of the Bulldogs pregame show begins at 11:30 this morning. Dave is out in Loganville and joins us on Lawn and Garden. Hey, Dave. Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm all right. So you think you have a good answer for the guy that had the holes in the yard a while ago?
Yeah, I have that problem going on right now, and I caught him on videos, armadillos.
Armadillos. Yeah, but see, the deal is the guy that called was in Hiawassee, and even though armadillos are all over good bits of Georgia, I don't know if they've gotten to Hiawassee yet. But you're right. You have a, for a lot of people in the metro Atlanta, Rome over to Athens, Clark Canyon over in there, armadillos. Yeah, I would have thought of that immediately because Loganville, sure, you got armadillos in Loganville, Dave.
Yes, sir.
Well, tell me more about your video. Where'd you see it? What'd you do?
I have a pile of corn I keep out in my backyard for deer.
Yeah.
And I keep the light on every evening, and one evening I caught the armadillo because I've been trying to find out what these holes have been for probably a month now.
All right.
And I literally was able to go out back, watch the armadillo bury his nose into the ground and rip up the roots, digging for grubs and worms.
Now, do not call me in 2 years and say, Mr. Reeves, I can't grow roses and hydrangeas and daylilies and vegetables because the deer come to my backyard and eat them all up. I don't want to hear it from you if you're feeding the deer now, Dave.
And I have no problem with that.
And how about your neighbors?
They don't have a problem with it either.
Yeah, you better ask. They may have a problem with that. But that armadillo, if you care to capture one, again, I got plans for how to make a little drift fence and trap for them on my website if you want to go and look, or if you just want to take the video and share it on Facebook and show everybody what an armadillo looks like in your backyard, that's all right with me too.
Sounds good.
All right.
You have a great day.
You bet, Dave. Thanks for calling. If you go to my website at walterreeves.com, you can do a lot more than learn about armadillos. You can also sign up for my email newsletter. It comes out every 2 weeks, and we have a new issue coming up next Thursday. You can follow me on Twitter, at Walter Reeves. You can follow me on Facebook, with Georgia Gardener. You can follow me on Pinterest, where I have only pictures of weeds and links to the weeds and how to control them. So lots of stuff at walterreeves.com, plus armadillos and how to plant fescue 1, 2, 3 right now. 404-872-0750 is the number on Lawn and Garden. Greg and Fed will be with us in the next half hour. He wants to plant garlic. I think we can plant some garlic and keep the spooks away as well. 404-872-0750. We'll be back after news. Desire.